Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/zabe today. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/zabe. Today on the ZabeCast, come on and watch some basketball. Indeed, indeed. Even though my regular season watching of the sport has dried to a near trickle, I'm excited about the big dance, and notorious J.A.Y. joins me to talk about some of the all-time great moments, images, and teams in tournament history. All that plus an ump who should be fired into the sun. Your bonus 45-minute edition of Pure Me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Monday, March 13, 2023. Thank you for downloading. Come on and watch some basketball. It is easily one of the most joyous, fun 3-week stretches of the sports calendar anywhere. This stretch right now, which starts tomorrow with the first two of the first four in Dayton. A thing that I once railed about and complained bitterly about and said, they ruined it. 64 was perfect. Well, guess what, kids? I actually kind of like it. I like the appetizers on Tuesday and Wednesday. Hell, you can gamble on them, which, by the way, you should make mybookie.ag, mybookie.com. Just search for MyBookie. Open an account today. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And as always, gamble responsibly on these tournament games. Have some fun. Jump on in. Splash around. The water is warm. Jayco is going to join me on a Monday for a full tournament breakdown, so I'm changing up the schedule just a little bit. I'm here in Milwaukee, where the Marquette Golden Eagles, don't call them the Warriors, they got rid of that name out of sensitivity years ago. The Golden Eagles are a 2 seed in what is a tough name bracket with Michigan State and Kentucky in there. But I think a very accessible route for Marquette to make the Final Four. They've got Purdue looming as the 1 seed on the other side. If Purdue makes it that far, everyone's going to be shorting Purdue and their mom. And I think a lot of people are going to be saying, oh, I like Marquette as a dark horse. We'll see about that. So we got a lot to talk about today on the podcast here. Jayco is going to join me in just a second. Real quick, though, I had to talk about this Rodgers thing real quick because I know that Jay doesn't give a shit, and maybe you don't give a shit, but we have the biggest piece of the offseason puzzle that is currently hanging in the balance, and it is, as of right now, 7 p.m. Central Time on Sunday night, and we don't know yet anything. There has been a meeting between Rodgers and Woody Johnson and the Jets brass, and that's it. There was a cryptic sort of, you know, footsie interview with Rodgers and Brandon Marshall on a charity softball game. Charity flag football game. Might as well have been softball. Charity flag football game that Rodgers agreed to do. And he sort of tiptoed around it. It just seemed very odd and awkward and weird. And he said, oh, you know what? Just everyone sit tight, because Marshall's like, come on, man, give us an answer. Give us an answer. All these Jets players are lobbying hard for Rodgers. And you could say, well, there's probably a lot of complicated negotiating going on about lots of elements of this deal. Maybe, but there's other deals going down left and right. Boom, boom, boom. Jalen Ramsey traded by the Rams as they continue to offload the expensive pieces of their championship run that did get them a Lombardi, but it was close, and now they are paying the price. So that deal happened today. Daron Payne got paid big dollars by the Commanders. And Rodgers? Well, we're waiting. The official start of the so-called tampering period begins, I think, in 24 hours. The official start to the new league year begins on the 15th, and that is just 2 days away. So we'll see what happens. I think there is a real possibility that Rodgers went into that stupid dark yurt for 4 days thinking, well, the Packers would never trade me unless I come out of this dark yurt and say I would like to be traded. So let's see what the darkness tells me. And he goes into the darkness. And he comes out and he's like, you know what? I'd like to play one more year for the Packers. One more year for the Packers, $60 million. Don't have to learn a new system. Don't have to change my forwarding address. Don't have to give up my country club membership. And we'll see what happens. We'll give it a shot. And then I can end clean as a Packer. And then the Packers are like, oh, actually, no. We've already moved on, actually. We're hoping you'd find somebody that wants you. And now Rodgers is scrambling to get this thing to a point where he can go, yeah, okay, I can be a Jet. Don't you think if he really wanted to be a Jet, if he thought this was a great opportunity, that this deal would be done already? I do. We could be headed for an epic East Palestine, Ohio-style toxic train wreck of a standoff coming in Green Bay. It could be, indeed, Brett Favre 2, Electric Boogaloo.
It's millennials. They don't care about getting stuff right. You've given up on them, haven't you?
Well, yeah. Well, why? Of course. Why wouldn't I?
Oh, I know. Hate him also. Sorry. Oh, look at you.
And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother. Does he look like a bitch?
What?
Go on!
You know, Jay, a curious conundrum greeted me tonight while watching the ESPN second bite of the selection show Apple. Care to guess what that conundrum was?
Oh, goodness. Well,
that is.
Let me see.
Does Jay Billis really like rap, or does he just quote it a lot?
No, I really think he does like rap because I've heard he quotes stuff that
not everybody knows.
Okay, right, okay. And then the second question will be, is Dick Vitale feeling okay? Because I know he's been through hell and back with his throat surgery, with the cancer and everything. He seems quite low energy tonight. That was not my question, my conundrum. My conundrum was this, Jay. I looked on the grid, the schedule grid for my cable or my DirecTV system, and it said ESPN bracketology field of 136.
Yeah, I saw that also, and it's coming. I said, what the hell is that?
You know what the fucking hell that is. ESPN is gonna ESPN, bro. And I'm like, oh, I get it. They're putting peanut butter in with my chocolate. They're doing the women and the men. Although, do the women do 68? I thought they only did 64. 68 is 136.
I guess. But I thought the women's special was coming on.
It's on right now. It's on right now as we speak.
It's coming on at 8.
It is. Yes. It's on as we speak. And here's what's odd is that didn't appear on the grid an hour ago. So I watched the first 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, are the boys here going to say, hey, you know, don't stay tuned. We got the women's bracket coming up in just a bit. Or are they going to bury that? And they made no mention of it whatsoever, even though the actual guide said the field of 136. And I'm like, shit, did they expand this thing without me noticing? Because that'd be embarrassing.
How many people turned away when they said, now we're going to give you the women's bracket? I know. I hate to be mean, but...
I know. They're giving us a product that is not very popular. They're carrying the product on their shelves, and they're giving it full resources, by the way. They have a lot of people that cover the women's game. It's on right now, though. But, you know, look, I don't give a shit. Just don't lie to me about what you're doing is all, you know?
Don't reel me in. Don't reel me in.
Well, yeah, just don't play it like that. There's no field of 136 is the point. There's two separate fields. What is this field of 136?
Yeah. How many minutes total or hours total are you going to watch of the women's tourney?
Oh, God. Hours? You can't measure it in hours unless it's point something minutes. Of an hour.
Minutes.
I'll watch a few minutes. Like when they play their championship game on the Sunday between the men's Final Four and the title game, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So at that point, I sometimes tune in just to watch it. I mean, look, these gals can fire up threes. Like they play like boys, just like very like smaller boys. That are not as strong, that can't jump as high. Junior high boys.
Yeah.
But, I mean, good for them. I got two daughters, and they didn't play basketball growing up, but I would have been fine if they did, and I love sports opportunities for all people. So let's just move on. Well, here we are, and boy, do we got a lot to chew on. Plus, you and I gave each other homework assignments to pick our five favorite NCAA moments, stories, yes, or images of all time. And that's a big Megillah right there, right?
That's a lot to chew on, yes.
Yes, that is a big matzo ball right there. So we got that to get to, plus this other stuff, including Kaepernick turning on his own adoptive parents. The Bears have traded the number one. I just mentioned the Rodgers thing, so you're off the hook on that. The Lamar stuff continues to get some people worked up, including your boy Ryan Clark. There was a horrible, horrible umpire who has now been suspended in college baseball. I assume you've seen the bite on that. And then there's the Chris Rock special to talk about as well. So, without further ado, how do you like the brackets? Do you want to jump on a high horse of indignance about the committee fucking it all up or not?
No. I mean, if Carolina would have got in, I'd have been very upset.
By the way, as of right now, and I don't know if they give them a chance to reconsider, Carolina has said, nah, we're good on the NIT.
They stink. Who cares?
They said no.
They stink.
Okay. I'm just saying this is a bit of a slap. I mean, talk about a brutal year for Carolina.
They would have been a not what's the word I'm looking for? They'd have been a big draw. Carolina in the NIT.
Oh, yeah. No, they would have been a moneymaker for sure. There's already going to be some pretty brand name programs this year in the NIT. Wisconsin is going to, I'm sure, accept a bid when they get invited at 9 o'clock tonight, Central Time. So we'll see about that. I know they're
Are you going wall to wall coverage with Wisconsin's NIT selection show?
We're not going wall to wall, but we are the Badgers flagship. You know, they've made the tournament 22 of the last 23 years. That's a better string than almost anybody, but like that's Kansas, true. I think. So they've been remarkably consistent. This is a real gut punch for them because they had been really counting on and expecting to be in the tournament, even though they are the sort of the tough watch, overachieving Midwest style of basketball.
Oh, my God, they're hard. But the Big Ten in a whole.
And the Big Ten as a whole sucks.
The Big Ten is a conference that is hard to like. It's got some very unlikable coaches. Fran McCaffrey.
Oh my God!
Is the poster child?
And Izzo, I like
Izzo though. Like Izzo.
Here's the thing about Izzo. I respect Izzo. I think he runs the program the right way. I think he has integrity in a sport full of complete slime. Like, look at the fact that Patino is now going to get his choice.
A good new job. Yes.
Choice of plum jobs, right?
Plum. St. John's
and Georgetown are good D1 jobs.
Georgetown 15 years ago was a good D1 job. Georgetown now is total irrelevancy.
Okay, yes. Oh, that's possible. But either way, I'm just saying, I had to explain to my wife, and it's always great when my wife asks questions because it forces me to revisit and put things on the table that you and I and other sports fans have already accepted and moved on from. Right? So I say, yeah, Rick Pitino, honey. He ended up getting a booster, some 36-year-old woman pregnant, in the back booth of an Italian restaurant and then paid for her abortion, even though he is a purported devout Catholic. And I said, that was before he went to Louisville and told his assistant coaches to start paying for hookers. To bring recruits in. No, not allegedly. God. Anyway, so so the NIT looks like Carolina. Look at the year Carolina's had. A year, less than a year ago, a year minus 3 weeks, basically, they were up 16 in the second half of the title game, and they blew it. Largest blown lead in the history of the NCAA championship game. They bring back three of their big dudes. Baycott was one of them, and I forget the other two guys.
Leaky Black.
Leaky Black, yep. And so they bring back three dudes who everyone thought, well, they're going to go pro. Because they're like, God damn it, we got unfinished business. And then they have the year that they had, but they kind of have a chance. If they just beat Virginia in the ACC tournament, they're in, everyone says, and they lose. And now they're out, and now they've said no thanks to the NIT. That's as tough a year as you can have. But let's see. They are North Carolina, Jay. So let me check the sympathy dipstick for them. Nope, it's bone dry. Bone fucking dry. All right. So that said, obviously, who do you like? It's all about dark horses and fades. Dark horses and fades. And obviously, no one's a true dark horse because everyone knows everybody. But give me a team or two you would fade in this bracket and give me a little bit of a dark horse.
Drake.
Okay. Because?
Drake is a school that nobody wants to play. They're really good. They beat somebody good on a neutral floor, and I was like, huh, okay. Drake is somebody that I would put a few shekels on to go deep.
Okay. Are you going to fade Purdue like everyone is going to probably fade?
God,
you're not going to fade Purdue.
It's so terrible. They're the worst number one seed in the history of the tournament.
So, yes, you're going to fade Purdue.
I mean, you mean not bad? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes,
I said, are you going to fade Purdue? And the answer is yes. You're absolutely going to fade Purdue. Okay.
Purdue is the worst number one seed in the history of the NCAA tournament. They are not, and they are not good at all.
In a down year for a week, for a conference, the Big Ten that performs poorly as of late in the tournament, and for a team that is centered on its bigs, not its guards. That's why, like, Houston, nobody knows Houston outside of
Houston. I've seen them twice, and I was like, eh.
Okay, well, they've got explosive guard play, and that takes you a long way in today's game.
It takes you everywhere. You got to have guards, yes.
Yes. So I think a lot of people might be sleeping on them as a one seed. Now, Kansas is a wild card because Bill Self is in the hospital.
Just got out.
He just got out? Okay.
Yes.
Two stents. How does that affect Kansas? Nobody knows, right?
By the way, shouldn't Kansas be on NCAA parole?
Oh God, yeah. Don't even get me started about
it. Okay. I just was like, wait a minute. Didn't they do some heinous shit? That's what
Oh, they were cheating like motherfuckers. But that now yes. Cheating's legal now. So it's almost like, how much do we really want to hold them to the wall for shit that is now basically legal?
That's true. You can't go back and revisit wrongdoings. Very true.
UCLA is a two seed, the future Big Ten bound UCLA. I've not watched any UCLA basketball this year. I know Bill Walton, of course, is all delirious about his alma mater, and he calls it the Conference of Champions. The sidebar to the Big 12, Jay, is that, or I'm the Big 12, the Pac 12 is they can't get a TV deal to save their ass.
That Larry Scott.
He's out now.
Worst commissioner
yes.
in the history of sport.
He's out now, but it's so bad.
He fucked them so bad.
I know, but yes. with USC and with UCLA leaving.
Who are you going to watch?
Right.
Oregon?
It's a junk conference when it comes to media rights compared to other leagues. So UCLA is the two seed in that same bracket opposite the one-seeded Kansas Jayhawks. Texas as a two seed. Against Houston in their bracket, in the Midwest bracket.
That's a good matchup because they hate each other.
Okay. If they get that far. Texas A&M, some say, was underseeded as a 7 seed.
No more than Duke as a 5 seed, and they won the goddamn ACC.
Right.
What does that say? But I've seen Texas A&M.
Okay. They got off to a slow start, but then they've stabilized since, and they were second in the league. So there is that. You have also over in, I'm looking at the Midwest region right now.
By the way, you are burying the lead.
Which is?
Your alma mater.
UC Santa Barbara.
The Harvard of the West Coast, as you'd like to call it.
The Gauchos. You would think I'd be fired up for them as a 14 seed. As a potential dangerous upset alert. In fact, Seth Davis predicted them to upset Baylor.
He sure did. Yes. I thought you would lead with that.
Well, it's funny you should mention, Jay. Me and the alma mater are a little bit on the outs right now.
Whoa.
And when I say on the outs right now, I mean since I last walked off campus in 1994, I guess.
You dislike your school that much?
I don't dislike the school, but much like Terry Bradshaw feuded with his team, the Steelers, and was sideways with the organization, right? Is Terry Bradshaw still sideways with?
No, he since came back. Okay. Yes, after Art Rooney... Oh, I can't remember which one passed away. He came back and all was made good.
Okay. Well, there's a possibility that I can do the same, but here's the problem. I haven't been back there since I last stopped doing games for the team, which was 93, I want to say, was my last year. Maybe, no, actually 94, I think. The 93-94 season was the last year of me doing the games professionally. I graduated in 90. And I did it for 3 glorious years, 91, 92, 93, bleeding into 94. Okay. I was on the student newspaper that wrote the article about how loud their home court was getting, the 6,000-seat Campus Events Center, it was called at the time. 6,000 bleacher seats. That was the darling of the third leg of the ESPN Big Monday package. Don't know if you remember those glorious days in the late 80s, 88, 89, 90. That was a place that got so loud, and they were such a good team that they were the last team to beat the mighty UNLV running Rebels before they went on a year and a half fucking rampage through college basketball and didn't lose a game. Okay? And I wrote a...
Wait a minute. Were you in the same conference as Loyola Marymount?
Yes, the Big West. No. At the time, no. Loyola Marymount was in the, I forget what they called it back then, but it was a lesser conference. The Big West
Coast Athletic Conference or something like that.
Yes, I believe they were part of that. But they were a good program. We played them. I saw Hank Gathers not die or collapse and die, but they were on the road. That was against UCSB, by the way.
Hank Gathers, God, was it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, tough stuff.
Yes.
Okay, that said, all right. By the way, I saw Loyola with Paul Westhead come into our building in 90? Yeah, I think it was in early 90, 1990. And it was a huge high-scoring game because that's what Westhead did with Loyola Marymount. Bo Kimball and Hank Gathers and Pear Steamer. Remember him?
And Jeff
Fryer.
Thank you, Jeff Fryer. Yes.
and we beat him, and I went nuts as a senior student, and my newspaper editor at the time, Scott Lawrence, told me, calm down, bro, calm down. We're media. We're supposed to be impartial. And I was just like screaming, go, we beat Loyola Marymount. This is so fucking great. You know, he's like, all right, settle down, everybody. So I wrote a story for the student newspaper when it was called the Campus Event Center. And I called the place that I said, the line that I wrote in the story was, it is no secret that UCSB's home court is becoming the league's Thunderdome. Quote, ooh. Unquote.
Ooh.
To Scott Lawrence's credit, he pulled that line from me. Nobody had uttered that. Not the head coach, Jerry Pym. Not soon to be part-time Celtic guard, Brian Shaw, and later Lakers head coach, Brian Shaw. Nobody said it. I made it up. I just said Thunderdome. Of course, it was a ripoff of the movie. Right? Mad Max, Beyond Thunderdome.
Beyond Thunderdome. Right. Yes.
And there is no thunder in Southern California. It's not a meteorological thing, but I was the first to write it. Scott Lawrence, to his credit as an editor, saw that line, liked it, pulled it, and put it in the headline. Okay? Caught fire. Next thing you know, the ESPN announcers for the rest of the season are calling it Thunderdome. Now, if you were to go to any official university publication from the sports information director, Bill Mahoney was his name back in the day. I don't know if he's still there or not. But any official publication and search for Thunderdome and one Steve Kazabin, you will come up with search results empty. And that, my friend, is why I am on the wrong side with my alma mater, the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara.
And you know what, Zabe? I'm going to give you this because you have done a lot in your postgraduate career.
I've done enough to be in their Hall of fucking Fame, for God's sakes.
I've done some shit. That's what you should say. I've done some shit.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
ESPN Radio, Fox Sports Radio, SB Nation. I don't mention that. Sporting News Radio, One-on-One Sports Radio, Washington, D.C. for 17 years consecutively, maybe no longer than that, 20 years. 20 many, years in market number
many
five.
Many episodes of the NFL films.
Yes.
List shows. Yes. So
you're telling me I don't belong. Me, Jim Rome, and Carissa Thompson. There's your sports media figures who belong in the UCSB Hall of Fame.
And you're not in are two of those three in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I haven't even checked the Hall of Fame. Okay. UCSB Intercollegiate Athletics Hall of Fame. And I'm scrolling right here.
I'm guaranteeing Carissa Thompson's in there.
I can't scroll this fast. Anyway,
yeah, but I'm guaranteeing she's in there.
Here's the thing, Jay. Okay. And I liked my time there. It was wonderful. It was great. But I'm not a California guy. I'm an East Coast guy. I'm an East Coast asshole, as everyone knows. Guess what? They know my address because they keep sending me fucking solicitations for money. You know how to reach me for money. How about a little, we'd love to invite you back for a game. Nope. So there you go.
Well, I am not on the outs with my alma mater. In fact, I don't give them money, but they still send, will you give us money?
Alma mater is?
The Harvard of Arbutus, University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Oh, that's right. UMBC. I forgot about that.
Yes. And our school president is one of those brilliant men of all time. I met him on four different occasions, the first being when I graduated because that was his first year. And then he's done so much in civil rights that I remember a couple stations I worked for, we had him on. And I didn't see him for like 5 years. And I saw him the first time UMBC had made the tournament. I was at that game sitting next to, Feinstein. Very funny, as it may, yeah. I sat next to Feinstein during that game. Anyway, he came down and sat next to me. We started talking. He goes, yes, I remember you. And I was like, holy shit, you remembered me from 5 years ago? Someone who great. So I adore my school.
Okay. I just Googled this. Notable alumni, UCSB. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Big one is Michael Douglas. Hey now.
Wow.
Katie Turr, NBC News.
Katie Turr, but her dad was like the first transgender reporter or something.
I don't know about that, but God bless her and her dad.
100% yes.
Harvey Levin with the sippy cup and TMZ leaning over the cubicles.
Wow.
Carissa Thompson is in there. Jim Rome is in there. This is, by the way, google.com. Josh Elliott. Remember him, formerly of ABC or ESPN and then NBC, and then ruined his career
by having
an affair? Oh, yeah.
Okay, yes, I remember Josh Elliott. He was a kind of a big deal for like 3 years.
Right. Tara Patrick, porn star.
Okay, she might be the most famous.
Okay, she went to UCSB. Don't see me.
That's weird. I start a Let's Get in the Hall campaign because it's way beyond due.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it.
If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Let's talk about the greatest moments in tournament history. By the way, before we finish our very cursory, if you were coming here looking for an in-depth bracket breakdown, it's obvious.
No, it's not going to happen.
It's obvious that I have watched very little college basketball. I'm excited for the tournament. I'm going to get into it this week, but I am not your expert. I will find experts to bring on, like Aaron Torres, who really watches and follows and reports on college basketball. We'll have him on hopefully this week. But I'm into it. I'm excited. I'm going to watch it. But as far as UCSB goes, yeah, I'll root
for
him.
Who will be this year's St. Peter's? I'm picking Drake.
Oh, okay. All right, good. As long as there's one or two, that's what makes it great. That's what makes it great. But it is, by the way, Jay, the last ride for James Fenimore Cooper Nance III. I'm just making up those middle names. It is Jim Nance's last tournament. Did you know that?
Is it? Wait a minute. I heard him on a podcast with someone, and he... No, I'm sorry. It was the Masters he was talking about doing it till the wheels fell off.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. He'll go out feet first on that one. This is his last ride. They're going to turn it over to Ian Eagle next, which I am fully in support of because Ian Eagle is the truth. He's really, really good. But James Nance III is calling his last tournament, and you know where the tournament ends this year, where the road ends? Houston. Houston is a one seed, and he went to Houston with one Frederick Couples of golf fame. You may know him. It's kind of written in the stars, isn't it, that Houston's going to win this whole thing?
No.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Houston for the win. That's my pick. That's my official final fourth pick.
Can we root for a team, though, who has a person who should be in jail? I don't think we can. That being Alabama.
Well, yes. It's funny because Bama fans apparently don't understand why much of America is rooting against them all of a sudden.
Yeah, because you have a guy who gave a gun to a guy who killed a woman. That's why. Case closed. Thank you.
He didn't give it, though. He's not like I'm listening to this. I gotta play for this for you if you got a second here. This is how Greg Gumbel coined the phrase,
who,
I guess.
By the way, has so lost his fastball. He is like Frank Tanana, and all my baseball nerds will get that. He gets names wrong. I remembered he did a Steelers game where he got at least 15 names wrong, and I was like, you guys got to really let Greg Gumbel go now.
Yeah. He did not – I don't know if he ever had a fastball, per se.
He was good. He's
– Bryant, his brother –
solid studio.
His brother got all the talent. Greg was the nice guy. And the nice guy is outstretching the guy with the talent because that's kind of what works in this business. All right, let me see if you can hear this right now. Hold on.
29 wins to set a school record. They sidestepped –
why is it so low?
Involving criminal activity in which Brandon Miller was associated. He was not charged. They are here as the number one overall seed, and they will be in the first and second.
Did I hear it?
Okay, so I'll repeat it for those who didn't hear it. Oh, here it is, Jay. Alabama sidestepped a situation involving criminal activity in which Brandon Miller was associated but not charged. Sidestepping a situation.
It's situation.
Involving criminal activity.
Yeah. Someone getting killed is not a situation.
No, exactly. You'd think they would be able to just say it plainly, such as Alabama, the one seed, playing, though, with some controversy as Brandon Miller is cooperating with the police as reportedly the man who brought a murder weapon to a former teammate who shot and killed a 23-year-old single mother. Now in the bottom half of this bracket.
Yes, to your West region.
Right. I think it's better to say they sidestepped a situation involving criminal activity in which Miller was associated. So yeah, you know that there's a guy, an Alabama fan, who has been banned from wearing a T-shirt to games, one of which said on the back, killing our way through the SEC 2023.
Oh, God.
They're like, we can't have this. So, okay.
I'm so glad that the North won the war sometimes. Sorry, go ahead.
Come on and watch some basketball. All right, here we go. Ping pong style. Top five tournament moments, themes, images of all time. And this is personal preference. So, in other words, if you listen to one of our things and says, well, that had no significance. That was not impactful. If it matters to you and it matters to me.
Somebody will put on Twitter or Reddit, how stupid we are.
That's
but this
all,
is our list.
This is our list. Okay. You want me to go?
You go first. It's your show.
Okay. Steve Merfeld. Remember him? Head coach at Hampton University. They upset Iowa State as a 15 seed.
And they pick him up and he kicked his legs out.
One of his players picked him up like a giant teddy bear. They had just won at a county fair, and he kicks his arms and legs out in delirious fashion for the whole world to see. And I go, God damn, I love this tournament so much.
Yes, I do remember that fondly. Yes.
That's image number five for me. Okay, you're up. Next.
Number five for me, the year after they found the Nets to win the title in 2003, the Maryland Terrapins. And I remember exactly where I was. I was at one of my best friend's house watching the tournament at night. Maryland beat UNC Wilmington on a last second shot by Drew Nicholas. I still remember. And the image I have is, and this is someone you and I both love, Gary Williams, going insane because he thought the refs were going to fuck him.
Yes.
So you see him going,
running up and down the sideline like an absolute maniac. Because back then there was no official video review. So there was always this chance that these three blind mice, the referees, could fuck him. And he wanted to make sure, you're not going to fuck us.
Yes, but that was, I went absolutely insane because I don't remember a lot of times Maryland hitting a buzzer beater, but that was one to remember for me. So that's my number five.
Okay. All right. My number four in terms of moments was 1987, Bobby Knight pounding a telephone off the hook. Well, getting a technical foul against LSU in the regional final against a poor Dale Brown, who had Shaq, Stanley Roberts, and Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who was then known as Chris Jackson.
Great documentary on Showtime about him.
And still, Dale Brown, great recruiter, probably cheated like a motherfucker, couldn't coach his way out of a wet paper bag because with 2 7-footers, including the greatest big man of all time, arguably in Shaq, and a dynamic point guard, he couldn't fucking get to the Final Four with that. Bobby Knight gets a technical 9 minutes in, arguing a call, and then bam, pounds the phone straight off the receiver. Hilarious. Never forget it.
Broke the phone. Yes.
Okay. Next, Jay.
For Chris Jenkins' shot, game-winning shot, and with the 16th? Yeah, for Villanova. Because he literally shot it from the hash.
Right. And it was a true buzzer beater. Yes. True buzzer beater. Horn, red lights, that's it. There's nothing left. Tournament, confetti, one shining moment, the whole deal.
Yes. Great shot, too. Yeah. Oh,
that's a good one. Number three moment for me. Poor Freddie Brown for Georgetown throwing the ball right to James Worthy in the closing seconds of their championship game against North Carolina. Worthy was in the wrong spot. That's why Freddie threw it to him. He was woefully out of position.
Way out of position, yes.
Not guarding who he should have. And so in a flash, in a moment, in a panic, he throws it to him, commits the turnover that causes them to lose the game. And afterwards, Big John, like the giant teddy bear he was, may he, Super Sky Point, rest in peace.
I was going to say, rest in peace, JT. Yes.
Brings him in and just gives him the big old bear hug right there on the court for all to see. Great fucking moment. That's my number three.
My number three, I have a tie.
Okay.
1995, Princeton over UCLA.
Okay.
It was a 95 or 90, was it, am I right, 95 or 96, when Princeton beat UCLA. The back cut them to death all night long.
Oh, that was back, really, really good, yes.
And then back cut them on the winning basket. But right. That's a tie with Bryce Drew and Valpo.
Right.
Because that was I think that was one of the first big upsets I remember. Of course, someone's going to say, what about this? But Valpo, never heard of the school. I didn't know. Valparaiso's in Indiana, right? Is that where it is?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know where it was. They had no idea.
Plus, it was a great bing, bang, boom play. In which
great draw up, throw it to the guy who threw it, you give it back to him. Right, perfect.
I believe they beat Ole Miss, and I believe Ole Miss's best player then was this guy, Ansu Cisse.
Ansu Cisse, yes.
I love the name so much, Ansu Cisse. Okay, my number two all time moment thing phenomenon theme. Has got to be Florida Gulf Coast dunking all over Georgetown in an upset for the ages of 15 over a 2 with a bunch of white guys. Now, there was a black guy on the team that could also dunk and had a few nasty ones, but they had two springy white guys who were throwing down. They're throwing alley-oops and shit in the waning minutes of that game against Georgetown of all teams. What a sensation Florida Gulf Coast was.
My number two, I went out because I remembered, oh, wait a minute, this was kind of a big deal. Santa Clara beating Maryland. Where I believe Maryland was a 4 seed. It was a 13.
Okay.
Double digits. And Santa Clara had some point guard from Canada named Steve Nash. I wonder what became of him.
Yeah, pretty good player. A 90, 50-40 guy. 90% free throws, 50 from the field, 40 from three. Pretty good. Won two MVPs, which I think was a mistake. I don't think he was ever the true MVP of the league, but he was a good player.
Oh, there's a big to-do about Steve Nash winning the MVP. I know. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Of course, the 06 year he won it, the second of the 2 years, Kobe should have won it, but guess what Kobe was coming off of? That unfortunate criminal activity for which he was associated but never charged.
Yes. wait a minute. What did they call in Alabama? Is the same thing? What was it? An unfortunate incident? Yes.
Yes, an unfortunate incident for which he was not charged. Well, actually was charged, but ended up dodging a bullet because the case fell apart and was dropped. Never went to trial, by the way, but he was facing fucking jail. Big time. Okay. That said, my number... Am I on number two now?
Number one, this is it.
What were my ones now? Okay. My number one is Ron and RJ Hunter, the father son tandem at Georgia State, with dad Ron with one leg because of his Achilles injury and a stupid hand cart literally falling off the hand cart as his son was making a buzzer beater to get them through to the next round. Absolute chef's kiss, March Madness, mwah! Perfection.
My number one, it's still one of the top four or five moments in the history of sport. NC State beating Houston.
It has to be number one.
And
Jim Valvano, super sky point to him, running around, trying to find somebody to hug. You know, the no three-pointers back in the day. No shot clock back in the day either.
Clock. Yeah.
I mean, that NC State team was a huge underdog Cinderella team. And to beat a overdog like Phi Slamma Jamma, come on now.
Do you remember the greatest semifinal game I can remember? Houston versus Louisville?
Oh, with Purvis Ellison.
No.
Oh, you're right. No, this was before. Dr. Daryl Griffin.
Rodney and Scooter McRae.
Oh, okay, right.
It was a dunk fest. All they did was go up and down on the go up and down the floor and dunking. It was, oh, my God. It was Clyde Drexler dunked over someone. I'm trying to remember who it was.
Right.
Or was that Memphis? I'm sorry. That was Memphis. He did that again. But, oh, and NC State should have been blown out by at least 50. But on this night, the gods were looking. And it's funny because when we used to coach, if it was a game that was close, we used to always say, we got to find out Alvin Franklin, meaning we got to find some freshman who was probably scared out of his mind to shoot big free throws. Yeah, got to get him Alvin Franklin treatment.
All right. Kaepernick turns on his adopted parents saying that.
Didn't turn on them.
Yeah. I think it'd be turning on them. Saying that his adoptive mother had problematic racist attitudes by telling him she didn't like his cornrows because she thought it made him look like a quote thug. Many people have said, yeah, that's what parents do. They complain about their kids' haircuts.
Yeah. I had my dreadlocks. That's what my mom said. Yeah.
Okay. Well, don't you think if you have been adopted by two parents who loved you and helped you become an NFL player, you should maybe just be thankful in public to them and just not say shit like this?
Well, I know. I like a lot of college. I saw that and I was like, yeah, that's pretty stupid.
Okay.
I think his girlfriend might be the problem.
Oh no! She's definitely got her hooks into his brain. She's running that thing. The Bears trade the 1-1 pick with three potential really good quarterbacks there. They think they've got their guy in Fields, and they get a pretty good return from the Panthers. I'm not sure it's as good as I would have liked to get out of that spot. The Panthers are now considering their options. The big question is going to be, can teams get over Bryce Young's size? Because he's clearly the best quarterback, the most ready-to-play guy, but he's small.
I always remember Pat White who went to West Virginia?
Yes, but he ran. He was a runner. Bryce Young is a passer.
Little guy, again.
Okay.
Go Google Pat White. And, oh, what's the Steelers? Ike Taylor. Just okay. Go Google that, and that's why I can't draft.
Okay.
Yeah, Bryce Young.
All right. Did you read the Charles Robinson piece on Lamar Jackson? Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, excellent writer, in which he talked to several high-profile agents about what they would advise Lamar if he actually had an agent. Did you read the story?
I'm Googling right now. I'm just going to see the headline.
Okay. Read it. It's one of the most fascinating pieces of sports writing I've come across in many a year. And he really teases out of these agents the dynamics in play here when it comes to the situation. And they're not saying that Lamar is necessarily wrong per se, but they're pretty much saying, look, here's what an agent could have done for you. And here's a perspective the agent could have given you about how the NFL works. And here's, you know, what you are fighting against when it comes to, well, just give me what, you know, Deshaun Watson had. It's not that easy. It's a good piece of writing. You should check it out. The Horrible Lump, we'll close on him, and we'll leave the Chris Rock special for another time. The Horrible Lump in college baseball, it was a game between, oh, shit, I forget the Division I teams.
Oh, New Orleans and Mississippi Valley State.
Okay. The batter is black, the ump is black, so thank God there's not a race element to this. But it was black crime for sure.
Yes, it was. Yes.
The black ump on strike two called a pitch that was right on the edge a strike. It was a little low.
Oh, it was so low. It was so low that the catcher couldn't frame it, and he flips it up.
Well, that's
just
true.
To make it look like
something. It was an exaggerated framing. It was a bad call. The batter hops up and down like he had just been given a hot foot and made a pretty big public show of, oh, man, come on. Gets back in the box and then strike three. If you think strike two was horseshit, strike three was the most out of the strike zone call for a strike that I have seen since Leslie Nielsen in Naked Gun. And immediately both benches empty and there's mayhem. The umpire has been suspended on an egregious scale of 1 to 10 when it comes to officials in our sports.
Thank God. That was fired on the spot. Yes.
Right. That one was an 11, right? Because, yes. Because basically you can't trust this guy. So.
The worst major league umpiring ever, Eric Gregg in the ALCS in 90 whatever.
But this guy just called strike three because he was pissed off. His feelings were hurt.
And he wanted to make Applebee's 11 o'clock.
No, he wanted to tell this kid, don't show me up or I'll call anything that comes near the plate to strike.
Punches him up. I'm glad he's been suspended. Yeah. I'm very glad about that. Thank goodness.
I think his career is basically over. All right.
It should be.
Jay, this podcast is over. Good run tonight, as always, my friend. Good memories of the tournament. Come on and watch some basketball. Gargantu bracket coming out within the next 48 hours from my man Brad Turner. So stay tuned for that. Or not stay tuned, but watch my Twitter space. I'll post it up there. Jay, we'll talk to you next time, buddy. Thanks.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. Billy Packer's in heaven. Jim Nance's last run. Damn it. It's starting to get sad. Here we go. One more verse. You ready? Got to crank up right now. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.